Back in November of last year, we as a church committed to go into a time of considering what it would mean for us to be ready. We put together a team of individuals who've been meeting with Brother Rick Howerton from the KBC. And one of the things the revitalization team came up with is something that we need to do as a church to focus on. And that is what we begin this Sunday is 40 days of prayer. 40 days of prayer. And you will, at the end of the service, be getting a prayer guide, a prayer and devotional guide through 40 days of prayer. It looks like this. It's on the front table. I'm going to ask every family to come and gather these and then gather together to pray for our praying. Okay? Because as we'll talk about this morning, prayer is a vital connection we have with God, and the enemy would love nothing better than to break that up and destroy it. And so we'll need to be praying for God to give us opportunities and as well as removing obstacles that may come in our path as we, as a congregation, spend these next 40 days focused in on prayer. And this process, as we'll be going through these 40 days, you'll see that some of it's much about you as an individual, praying that God has you where you need to be because you are the church, right? And if the church is going to be where it needs to be, then every individual has to be where we need to be. And so we'll be focusing in on our relationship with God individually, and we'll also be praying for the congregation as a whole and praying in specific ways that God would move and that we'd find ourselves revitalized, rejuvenated, encouraged, equipped to be all that God has called us to be. And we'll finish this 40 days of prayer with a revival for the church. And Brother Rick Howerton is going to be coming and preaching in that revival services for us. To be encouraged and equipped for the coming days. And so these are the first of several steps that we'll be taking through the revitalization process as a church. But 40 days of prayer beginning this morning as we look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So if you'll find that passage of Scripture with me and take your sermon note sheet out of your bulletin, I encourage you to take down notes and those of you who are teenagers and younger, you're taking notes this morning in the sermon note sheet. Let me encourage you as you write these things down that you pay attention to the passages of Scripture that are mentioned and references to different kinds of prayer. So we're going to be looking for, as we scrutinize your outlines for the candy you may or may not receive. Thinking about prayer and prayer, beginning to understand that prayer has to be happening while we are in the battle. We're to pray in the battle, prayer in the battle. We are in a spiritual battle. So what we find here Paul's talking about in Ephesians 6, let's back up to verse 10. Once you find that passage of Scripture, stand with me as we'll read this together. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. I'm going to focus in on verses 18 through 20. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full, what? Armor of God, so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you are in a battle every single day. And I think we oftentimes forget that or ignore it, that we are in a spiritual battle. Oftentimes we'll find ourselves fighting against one another, but your battle is not against your spouse. It's not against your boyfriend or girlfriend. Your battle is not even against your brother or sister, okay? Your battle is not against your neighbor or a coworker. Your battle is against the enemy. The one who desires to seek to kill, steal, and destroy. And so our battle this morning, we got to realize, is a spiritual battle that has to be fought in spiritual ways. So that's what Paul is addressing here, that we need to recognize where the battle begins. Verse 13, this is why you must take up the full, what? Armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in Him to speak as I should. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the clear instructions that we find this morning about the spiritual battle that every single one of us are standing in the middle of this morning. We're in the middle of a battle this morning for minds, for hearts, for souls. And some are already distracted and have checked out and have decided that they're not going to engage. And so, Father, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit's direction that You would break through distractions and hindrances, that every single one of us would hear from Your Word this morning the instructions You have for us. Let us this morning gather a better understanding and appreciation for the ability we have to do this, to pray, to have a conversation with You, the Creator and the Sustainer of the entire universe. God, let us not take this for granted. And let us see the power that is found in prayer as we pray in this battle that we are in. And may we as a church find ourselves rallying together around this common need to pray. Guide us, Father, through this passage of Scripture, we pray. Every word that comes from my mouth would be from You, and You would have permission to work on our hearts, doing anything You need to do in us. Today we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we must communicate with God in this spiritual battle we face. In the Vietnam War, there's a lot of statistics that are thrown about the life expectancy of individuals that fought in that war and individual positions. But one of the shortest life expectancies of a soldier fighting in the Vietnam War was the soldier who was the communication specialist for each regiment. 4 seconds. 4 seconds was the life expectancy of a communications officer in the Vietnam War. When you grabbed the radio and began to communicate for your regiment, you knew in the back of your mind all those who had already lost their life holding this communication device. 4 seconds was about how long you were expected to make it, which meant some didn't make it that long, and some made it a little bit longer. And by God's grace, some made it home. Why? Why was it that a communications specialist, a communications soldier in the Vietnam War only made it 4 seconds? The ability to communicate effectively is crucial in warfare. The enemy knew it. He knew that if he could take out communications, he could take out support and help and aid for those soldiers. They were sitting ducks, just waiting to be taken out if they had no communication. You and I are in a battle, much like the Vietnam War. Every day, the enemy lays siege to souls that spend eternity in hell. They are our family members, our co-workers, and our neighbors. The enemy knows that our church is desiring that we might be more prolific in our evangelizing those that are around us. He knows that my desire as your pastor is that at the end of this year, we would be in a position to shake the gates of hell like they've never been shaken in the Hart County, Kentucky. That's my desire. And if anybody will listen and follow, that's what we'll be doing by the end of this year. Does the enemy want that to happen? Absolutely not. And the only way this is going to be effective and going to happen is if we are listening to the voice of God and following His Spirit's direction every single day. It won't happen from some great idea I come up with. It won't happen by us coming alongside of each other and just loving each other and doing things well. It will only happen when God is guiding us. And God guides us when we're empowered by His Spirit and submissive to Him through prayer. That's why we begin this revitalization process by spending 40 days in concentrated prayer, seeking the face of God, communicating with Him. And what I realize is the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you from praying. What you'll find is you'll be 5 days in and you realize you prayed one out of the last 5 days. And you wonder, how in the world did this happen? Stealing away seconds and moments from your day is what the enemy will desire to do. So we have to understand we're in a spiritual battle. And the stakes are high. It's not just the pastor standing in front of you saying you need to pray. It's essential. It is crucial that we find ourselves in communication with the Lord. When Paul talks about this spiritual battle that we are in, he gives us a lot of armor that we are to put on. But to sum up all the armor that is placed on, it is placed on and with prayer. In verse 18, he tells us we're to pray at all times. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Sea mammals. You know of any sea mammals? Can you name one? A whale? A seal? A dolphin's what I was thinking of. Figured that would be the first one, a dolphin. Dolphins, we'll take them, swim around in the ocean and go to great depths to find food and exploring. But every dolphin has something in common. They have to do what to breathe? They got to come to the surface, right? They got to come to the surface to get air. You and I have something in common. We've all got to breathe, right? Let's all hold our breath for a moment. Don't breathe in. It's pretty natural to breathe, isn't it? You got to think about not breathing. That's kind of the language that Paul is using here. Pray all the time. You breathe all the time without thinking about it. You and I have to be in a mode, in an idea, in a mindset that our prayer is just like breathing. It is a natural reaction to life. Our brain naturally tells our lungs to take in air. And our spiritual body needs to be breathing, and that is praying. Pray at all times, praying in the Spirit. You and I have a gracious gift from God when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Part of God comes to live inside of us. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we're to pray in and through Him. He's to be the one who guides our language and our conversation. The one who promotes us and prompts us to begin our conversations with the Lord. But would you say that there are times it's difficult to pray? Now, are there times it's difficult to even know what to ask for? In Romans 8, 26 and 27, we find these words. Romans 8, 26 and 27. If you're taking notes, Romans 8, 26 and 27 needs to be on your page. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our what? Our weakness. Because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset. Because He intercedes for the saints according to what? The will of God. There have been several occasions I've been called into very difficult positions to pray for and pray with families. And stricken oftentimes by grief or the gravity of the situation that I've been in, it's been difficult to even know what to pray. And so I've read this verse of Scripture. I said, God, I know Your Word says that Your Spirit will pray when I can't even pray. God's Spirit desires to commune with us in such a way that it aids and helps in our communication with God. And there are times this 40 days when we'll bow before the Lord, or we'll be going about our day and we don't even know what it is we need to be talking with God about, but there's a conviction in our heart that we need to be communicating. It's in those moments and throughout our times of prayer that we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying at all times in the Holy Spirit with every prayer and request on all occasions. Every time we have the opportunity, we're to be praying. But how are we to be praying? Jesus gave us some instructions in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, 7, he tells us a little bit of a warning about how not to pray. In Matthew 6, 7, he says, when you pray, not if, but when you pray, don't babble like idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many, what? Their many words. It's not about the words that you say. It's not about being eloquent and thinking you're going to impress God. He created you. He knows who you are and He knows your vocabulary. It's not about coming up with a great deal of words that we need to be saying, but it's about a constant communication with God. It's like talking to a friend. We don't go up to a friend and say a bunch of words that make no sense, right? Well, maybe sometimes we do. Maybe you have a friend that does that. It's not pleasant, is it? God is not interested in us rattling on a long vocabulary list of words. What He is interested in us sharing our heart with Him. It's not about babbling on. It's not about saying a bunch of stuff. It's about communicating. As we pray on all occasions and all times, it's not about using a bunch of words. It's about letting our heart be made known to God with perseverance. He tells them to continue on, to stay alert in this with all perseverance. The idea of perseverance is the ability to hold up a weight and not drop it or throw it, but continue walking on day by day, carrying this burden, persevering, keeping on, keeping on, even though the weight may be getting a little bit heavy. Sometimes even thinking about our need to pray and intercede for those around us, that weight may get a little heavy. And we may want to throw it off as if it were a burden that could be removed or refused. But prayer is not something that is to be neglected. It is something to be persevered in. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told two very simple but powerful words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray what? Consistently or constantly, pray without ceasing. That's a constant communication with God. As you're driving down the road, have a conversation with God about what you see. As you're enduring a difficult day, pray to God about what's going on in your life. It should be as though we begin a prayer in the morning as our feet hit the floor. And we don't say amen until our eyes close that night. The prayer is all day long. It shouldn't be an amen. It shouldn't end it anywhere. There may be a comma and put a little pause here and there throughout the day, but it's a praying constantly. It's a constant conversation with God. As we pray, we're to pray in all ways. Different manners of prayer. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. There are several different lists in Scripture that give us a different list of what prayers can be offered and what ideas we can gather from what kinds of conversation we need to be having with God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:1, this is one of those lists. 1 Thessalonians? Y'all help me out. It's Timothy, right? 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul is including one of these lists to young Timothy, encouraging him. This is what he needs to be doing. First of all, then, I urge you that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Prayer, it's just a simple word, is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of our having a conversation with God and worshiping Him because He is worthy of our conversation and worthy of our adoration and respect. Intercession is drawing near to God in conversation. The Bible tells us over and over, we're to draw near to God with a promise that He will what? He will draw near to us. That's what prayer is. It's a drawing near to God. Supplication. What's supplication mean? Anybody know? Praying for what? the needs of others. God to supply, to meet the needs of others. And finally, thanksgiving. Expressing thanks to God. I mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, maybe something that I learned early on to kind of help me in guiding how it is that I pray and making sure that I'm praying in these kinds of lists and carrying and covering all bases. I usually use the word or the acrostic ACTS, A-C-T-S. A standing for adoration. Our prayers should begin by adoration, recognizing who God is and adoring Him as the creator and sustainer of the universe. If we begin our conversation with God by recognizing who He is, everything else then just begins to line up. If you begin by conversation with God with how big your problems are, it sometimes is that it seems as though our problems are bigger than our God. But when we begin our conversation with how big God is, it lines up everything else under and it begins to pale in comparison to who this amazing God really is. So A is for adoration. C is for confession. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. C is for confession. Confessing that sin. Sin is a hindrance, right? Sin is a roadblock. It is a chasm, a gap separating us from God. You cannot continue on in a conversation with someone that you're estranged with, right? If you have broken off relationship with a friend, you're not going to carry on a meaning conversation with them until you've reconciled that relationship. So the second part of our prayers needs to be that we're confessing our sin before God and confessing our need for Him. So that's the C. Third letter was what? Anybody paying attention? T. We're spelling out Acts, remember? T. T is for thanksgiving. It should be that we give God thanks for all that He's done. Thanking God for salvation, thanking Him for the day we've been given, thanking God for all that He's done and is going to do in our lives. And then we get to the S, and that's supplication, asking for God to meet needs, whether that be in our lives or the lives of those around us. But too oftentimes, the S comes before everything else, and we lose perspective. So ACTS is just a good way. You may have other ways that you kind of help in your mind make sure that this conversation with God is going as He has given us instruction in Scripture. But He says we're to pray in perseverance. But before we can pray with perseverance, He says, and do what? Stay alert. To stay alert. To have eyes open and watching and praying. Jesus says in Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36. But be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So to be alert. Be vigilant of what's going on around us and how we can have a conversation with God about what is happening before us. Staying alert and being aware of the temptations that are coming to pray with God about those things. To stay alert about what may be happening as the enemy may be trying to distract and distort our view of God. Pray that God would allow us to maintain strength that we might be able to escape what may be coming our way in this intense battle. So this is instruction on praying at all times, in the Spirit, every kind of prayer, with request, staying alert, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. We're to be praying for each other, looking for opportunities to lift up one another in prayer. We are all in the same family, and we're all under the same attack. We oftentimes get very zeroed in on our battle. We get very focused on our own problems and our own circumstances. But what we need to realize is that your brothers and sisters that you are in a family with in the Mumfordville Baptist Church, we're all in the same battle. We all have our own struggles and own difficulties, and so we need to be lifting up one another in prayer. We need to be concerned about what's going on in the lives of those around us. Asking, how can I pray for you? In your Sunday school classes, seeking how you can pray for the concerns and the struggles that one another have. Now, in order for this to happen, we have to be honest. But when somebody asks you how you're doing, you usually use that four-letter word that starts with an F, which is, I'm fine. I'm fine. Even though you're lying through your teeth, you say you're fine. The truth is, I can't pray for you if I don't know. And neither can your brothers and sisters in this family. So it's time we put aside pride and our own thinking that we've got this all figured out and have it all together. Because we don't. None of us do. We're all in an intense battle, and we need prayer. We need someone communicating for us on our behalf. We need someone who's going to be there standing in the gap when it's difficult for us to even pray. Galatians 6:2 is a mandate for us. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's not a suggestion, ladies and gentlemen, it's a command. But you can't carry your burden you don't know exists. So we need to be open and honest with one another, and we need to be consistent in praying for one another. By praying with and for one another, we share our hearts and love grows stronger. Praying for each other. As you walk through these next 40 days, take opportunities to pray for every individual that you know in this church family. And Paul finishes this prayer conversation with instructions on praying for him. It's interesting, he doesn't often do this, but Paul gets a little bit vulnerable here to the church in Ephesus and says, pray also, verse 19, pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak as I should. Probably the last thing I would have ever thought the Apostle Paul would ask for is boldness. Wouldn't you think that? I mean, just understanding who he is and being able to unpack his character based on what he's written and his life throughout Acts and what he's done, we would not say that Paul was one necessarily that needed boldness. Yet his number one prayer request to the church in Ephesus was, as you're praying and you're praying for everyone, pray for me. Pray that I might be bold. Pray for boldness in proclaiming the gospel. Because even the Apostle Paul stood up against great fear and concern when he was introducing individuals to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, pray that we may speak God's message. Because he alone can change hearts. We can only change minds. He knows that God is about the business of changing hearts. And he knows that if hearts are going to be changed, it's got to be done through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and through the gospel being spoken. And so he's asking them to be praying for him. We need to be praying that God would give us, each one of us, boldness to share. Pray that God would give us strength to work through the fears that we have and the apprehension that we may have in sharing with those around us about who Christ is. Praying for boldness. Praying that every opportunity we have, that when we open our mouths, it will be the truth of God that is spoken about the amazing gift of God that he has given us in salvation. I want you to stand with me, please. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning as we close out our time, but I want you to consider this. A couple of questions, as we always do. Consider this question. Will you commit to pray? It's going to require a commitment, sacrifice. That means you're going to have to give up some time this week and for the next 40 days to commit to some extra focused time of prayer. I'm going to ask you in just a few moments, if you make your way out of your pew and come grab one of these books and grab somebody, maybe it's a family member or a friend, and spend some time praying with them. Praying for our time of prayer. Praying for our commitment. Because this battle that we're in, the enemy wants to take us out in 4 seconds or less. Because if he can get us off track and out of communication with the Father, then he's won. Then we'll just keep doing what we've always done and never seeing God do anything new. But it's going to require a commitment, a sacrifice. Will you commit to pray? Second question is this. I recognize in a crowd this large, all of us have issues going on in our lives. What do you need to talk to God about today? What is it that you need to pray about that's pressing in on your heart? I'll be standing up here and love to talk with you and pray with you about whatever that is. But you don't have to have me. With a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stop and have a conversation with God at any second of any day, including right now. Maybe there's something you haven't taken to God and you need to. Then spend this next few moments in prayer and conversation with Him. Maybe you know that there's going to be something that's going to stand in your way and you need to give that up. Something's hindering your conversation, your communication with the Lord, and you need to walk away from it. Pray that He'll give you the courage and the conviction to do so. So I'm going to pray for us. Miss Glenda's going to play a song. We're not going to sing. You're going to pray. Come and grab a prayer guide and then spend some time in conversation with the Lord. You can get on your face here, back at your pew. Spend the next few moments in a conversation with our Heavenly Father. God, we come to you to say thank you for the gift, for the privilege, and the responsibility of prayer. We recognize from your word this morning that we are in an intense spiritual battle, where souls of men and women, boys and girls, hang in the balance. And the enemy would love nothing better than to rob you of the glory that you deserve by distracting us and keeping us from having a conversation with you. So God, we come this morning to commit the next 40 days to have intense conversation with you. There's some here this morning, Father, that need to have an intense conversation with you now about what's going on in their lives. Maybe it's a stumbling block, something standing in their way of having this vibrant relationship communication with you. Maybe there's one here this morning that needs to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can have the sin of their lives removed, that they can have a conversation with you. But God, we give you this time to convict our hearts, give us courage, that we might commit to 40 days of praying, intense conversations with you. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.